Welcome to Live with Passion and the teachings of Father Cedric Pazegna. This program is designed to help deepen your relationship with God and empower you to live with greater passion. We invite you to log on to www.frcedric.org for more inspiration. That's www.frcedric.org. May the Holy Spirit touch you as you listen now.
Welcome to Live with Passion. I'm Father Cedric Pazegna. I'm so glad that you tuned into the program today. I want to talk to you about who we are as church. I want to share with you the scripture from 1 Peter chapter 2. It goes like this. You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful works of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once you were no people, but now you're God's people. Once you had not received mercy, now you have received mercy. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So I want to talk to you about church. And what is church? I asked that question, and you know, what do you think of when I use that word church? Most people think of a building. They think of a place. They think of the pope or a bishop or a priest or something like that when I talk about church. I put that on my Facebook page. I said, when I say the word church, what do you think of? And I got back a holy place, a home, a place to go and pray. And then somebody said the community of believers. So church is all that. It's a place. It's the community of believers. It's a celebration. But let me try to break it open for you. I've had the privilege of, as a missionary, as a preacher, you know, I travel around the United States and Canada, and I preach revivals or missions in all these different churches. And I've had the privilege of going into, I think, thousands of churches. I've preached in round churches. I've preached in long bowling alley type churches. I've preached in churches with high roofs. I've preached in churches with great lighting. Some are dark. Some have great sound systems, others don't. I've had glittering tabernacles and majestic pulpits, hypnotizing crucifixes, meditative baptismal fonts, stunning stained glass, dignified altars. So I've seen it all. I mean, church buildings are amazing. I've preached in all kinds of different cities, most of the cities where you're watching. I've preached in New York and Philadelphia and Orlando and Houston and Chicago, Los Angeles and Atlanta, and so many of the many cities around the country. And I've met many of you in these church buildings and had the privilege of worshiping in so many different places and seeing all these different architectures. And I've noticed one general theme of the architecture of a church building, and it seems like the roof will arch up most of the time, or there'll be something pointing us upwards. That's, you know, the architecture itself of a church building, it's what it's trying to do is to raise our minds, to lift our spirits upwards to God. I think about the Crystal Cathedral, for example, in California. It's all glass, and you're able to look through and see the clouds, and it lifts your mind and your heart up to God. I remember a place in Lake Tahoe, it had all glass there. I was preaching the gospel there, and you look out, I think it was St. Francis Church, and you look out and you know you can see all of Lake Tahoe out there. It's very distracting as a preacher. You're trying to preach and everybody's looking out at Lake Tahoe. But the bottom line is churches try to mediate a place or be a place that mediates the presence of God. Now, I want to say that I know a lot of people go to the same church all the time, and some people, it seems to me, they have a relationship with the church building. You got to be careful of that. I mean, the church building isn't salvation. The church building isn't God. But it can mediate a relationship with God. So remember, when you go to pray before the Blessed Sacrament or you come to a church, don't just have a relationship with a church building. Let it mediate a relationship with God for you. It's a place of prayer, Jesus said, for all peoples. And prayer is that place where we come into communion with God. So church buildings are very important. One of the most striking church buildings I've ever been in, of course, is in Rome. And I went over to St. Peter's Basilica. I've studied over in Rome. And if you've ever gone into St. Peter's Basilica, this is the largest church building in the world. Amazing. You go in there and you're struck right away, first of all, by all the people from everywhere in the world. You know, you see Oriental people, you see Latinos, you see Anglos, you see Europeans. Everybody comes there. It's a place of prayer for all peoples, as Isaiah said, as Jesus said. So you go into St. Peter's, you're struck with Bernini's columns, if you've ever seen them, over the altar. You're struck with all the statues of the apostles. Of course, the works of Michelangelo, the Pietà, Mary holding Jesus as he came down from the cross. There's a statue of St. Paul of the Cross up there on the right toward the center. But one aspect that I wanted to share with you has to do with the stained glass window. Actually, it's done in alabaster of a dove of the Holy Spirit way in the back of St. Peter's Basilica. And amazingly, what happens is when the sun is shining, it goes right through that alabaster window, and it's like this shaft of light, this beam of radiance, like something out of heaven shines right down into the church, and you can see the whole beam, and it's very beautiful, and it's very inspiring. And that's what a church building ought to be. It ought to be a place of prayer, a place that inspires you. You go a little bit further over to the Vatican Museum, probably one of the most renowned churches in the world is, really, it's a chapel, the Sistine Chapel. You go in there and you can see the works of Michelangelo, first on the sanctuary wall. He has the Last Judgment. Then if you look up, and everybody's looking up that goes in there, and you see the creation, you know, God touching Adam and creating him. It's a very beautiful place. Of course, the Pope is elected there. They have a consistory where the bishops will get together, the cardinals will get together, excuse me, and they'll elect a new pope, and then the smoke will come out. So that's a very famous church. And I think about a church building in the United States in St. Louis, Missouri. I lived in St. Louis, Missouri for a year as a youth minister, and I used to go every once in a while to the St. Louis Cathedral. This is one of my favorite church buildings in the United States. It has the largest mosaic work in the Western Hemisphere. I mean, little teeny mosaics, just beautiful, forming all kinds of different images. And over on the one of the side chapels, they have a chapel dedicated to the Holy Spirit. And all in red, all red mosaics. It's like it's on fire. And I looked in there and I thought, wow, you know, this is such a great monument to the Holy Spirit. And it inspired me and lifted my mind and my heart to God. So that's really what a church building does. It ought to bring you closer to God and ought to lift you up in a beautiful way. And I've noticed that when I travel and I go to these different churches in little cities and large, little towns and large, every church, at least in the Catholic Church, is dedicated to a saint or to Mary or to an aspect of Jesus like the Sacred Heart. Here in Houston, we have the Sacred Heart Cathedral. And, you know, there's all different saints, St. Paul of the Cross and St. Francis of Assisi and St. Catherine of Siena, you know, whatever your church building is. So that's really neat. It has a patronage, and in a special way that saint intercedes for those people in that church. So that's beautiful. And then in every church I go to, there's always hopefully some, in some way, shape, or form, usually up on the steeple, there's a crucifix. And that's one of the ways that you can find the church in the first place. But you go in, and most Catholic churches will have a crucifix hanging right over the altar or definitely on the sanctuary wall. Right now we're in Holy Name Retreat Center. We're in our chapel, our community chapel. And I think this is one of the most beautiful crucifixes you'll ever see. See, we're Passionists, and we have a dedication to the cross, to the crucifix, to Jesus crucified. And it shows to me how much God loves us and how much Jesus loves us and his suffering love. And you can see what he's been through with the pierced side, with the nails in his hands and his feet, with the crown of thorns, and how he's loved us. In our other chapel that we have here at the retreat center, we have another crucifix that I think is very striking. It's called the Limpus Crucifix. And it shows Jesus, and he's very human looking. In fact, if you go, you look really closely with a camera, you can actually see the capillaries in his eyes. The interesting thing about that crucifix, and which makes it different from all the others, is that he's still alive. His eyes are open. He hasn't been pierced yet. He hasn't died. And it's called the Olympus Crucifix. And what I really like about it is it shows Jesus in agony on the cross. And you can see his suffering and sense his love for us personally. All you have to do is meditate on it just a little bit, and you'll see how much Jesus loves us. So really, a church is a place that mediates the presence of God. Its architecture, what it has, the altars, the tabernacles, the crucifixes, it's a place of prayer for all peoples. You are welcome in these churches to come and pray. But remember what I said, don't so much have a relationship with a building. Have a relationship to what the building points to, a relationship with God, and that's what church is all about. I have to let you know, as a preacher, one thing that's very important to me, and it's been kind of neglected in the past, has to do with sound systems. It's amazing. Some of these churches are gorgeous inside, and they're so big and beautiful, and they have these high arched ceilings, but the sound is horrible. I've preached in some churches, you go in there and you say, hello, and it goes, hello, hello, hello. And then you're trying to preach, and all you get is an echo, and it's very, very difficult. Other churches have put thousands of dollars into sound systems, and it's impeccable, it's beautiful, it's crisp, it's clear. See, a church ought to be a place where we can hear the Word of God proclaimed. And every time I come into a church building, you know, as a preacher, and I'm going to preach a mission there, one of the first things I do, you know, the pastor will show me around, and I'll go up to the lectern, and I'll have him turn it on, and I'll speak, and I'll listen. And I'll try the lavalier and see how that is, because it's very important that people hear the Word of God. People come to pray and to be inspired. It's a place of celebration. It's a place of worship. So that's one of the things that church is. And I love it when I get a place with a great sound system that's very handsome, that's very beautiful. It makes the Word of God transmit even better. Stained glass windows, that's how they used to read the Bible in the old days. They look at the stained glass windows because they weren't able really to read, so they'd see the stories up in the stained glass windows, and it's beautiful to see churches with beautiful stained glass windows. Many of you have seen the stained glass window behind me for years as I've preached this program here in this chapel, and that stained glass window, of course, is our Passionist sign with the nails of Jesus in there, the nails that crucified Jesus, and it's a symbol that helps raise our minds and hearts to the passion of Jesus even more. And it's in different colors, reminding us of the beauty of heaven and what is to come. So we, in architecture and through vessels and through different instruments, we do everything we can to raise our minds and hearts to what heaven is going to be like and what God must be like. And that's what a church building tries to mediate. Well, I have to tell you that I realize that not everybody can go to church. Because, for example, my mother's 88 years old, she's suffering with sciatica, and she's really struggling. It's hard for her to get around, and she loves to go to church, but she can't get out. And a lot of people can't get out anymore because of physical disability or whatever it is. And people love to go to Mass. That's one of the reasons why we broadcast the Mass on TV. That's one of the reasons why I come to you through TV with the preached word. The Mass is very important, but I wanted to do the preached word in these TV programs. I want to have a church without walls. See, that's what we're doing with technology, with cameras, with TV, with radio. Some of you are listening to me on radio right now. We're trying to bring church to you right in your own homes, in your cars, in hotels and hospitals. We're trying to bring an experience of God's Word to you to lift your mind and heart up to God so that you can deepen your relationship with God. So what we're trying to do here is have a church without walls. Fulton Sheehan was a great bishop of our Catholic Church back in the 60s. He was a pioneer around the same time of Billy Graham. Well, he was doing it in Catholic circles. He was a pioneer of television and radio. And he had this program, Life is Worth Living, years ago. And it actually competed with primetime TV on major networks. And Fulton Sheehan said, our era has been misnamed the atomic age. It's rather the television age. Television influences humans 1,000 times more than the fission and the fusion of atoms. Television is the newborn babe of the fourth dimension of space-time. Newton knocked the boundaries out of space. Einstein knocked the boundaries out of time. but television has annihilated space and time. And I really love that quote by Archbishop Fulton Sheen because it's so true. We live in a television age. Many young people, you know, you see what they're doing after school. They go right to the TV and they're watching TV. And many older people that are retired, you know, watch TV all day. That's one of the reasons why I wanted to be on television is to come into your homes, come in. See, we can't always expect people to come to us. We have to go to them. We have to come to you. And that's exactly what we do through TV. I want to say this right now. All of you who are supporting me, my partners, my benefactors, those of you who read my books, you support me that way, thank you so much. You have allowed me, through television, to go into all these different homes where people aren't going to church, to make a difference in young people's lives, older people's lives, fallen aways, all people. We're even reaching into prisons. There's a network that I air on, the Trinity Broadcasting Network's Church Channel. We even have a channel called the Church Channel. And through the Church Channel, I'm going into prisons all around the United States, hearing from prisoners. Thank you for your support. Thank you for those of you who are encouraging me, who email me, who support me financially, prayerfully, because you're helping me to reach out beyond the walls, typical walls of the church, to go where the people are. And that's what we have to do. We have to go where the people are. So thank you for helping me to do this. Now, church is a building, but it's also a celebration. I remember one time I was in Chicago, and I was a seminarian, and I was doing my basic ministry at an African-American church. It was called St. Benedict's. And at this place, I mean, there's great celebration, and there's great music, and dynamic preaching. And I remember one time we had that wonderful celebration. The woman next to me looks at me, and smiles, and shakes my hands. Father, she said, we just had church. And that's a great way to put it. What is church? It's an assembly of people within a building. It can be outside of a building. And it's when you celebrate, you worship, you praise, you pray, you celebrate life. And that's what we want you to do at church. And that's what church ought to be. So church is a celebration. It's a building. But I want to impress upon you, more than anything else, church is what I just read to you in that first reading. And this is what it is from 1 Peter. And it says that you are a chosen race. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation, God's own people, that you may declare the wonderful deeds of him who called you out of darkness. Get that word, called you out of darkness. That's what the word ekklesia means, to be called out. You've been called out of darkness. That's what the word church means. We're an assembly of believers called out of darkness, called what? Into God's marvelous light to proclaim the greatness of the one who saved us. And I think that's so beautiful. So when you talk about church, don't think so much about a building or don't think so much about a celebration, although that's part of what church is. Think rather that church is a group of people, an assembly of believers who has been called out of this darkness, you know, the way we used to be, into God's light, into his healing grace, to be saved and to proclaim the wonders of God to all people. So I want you to understand that you are the church. You are the body of Christ. You, as a believer, represent wherever you go. If you're a Catholic, you represent the Catholic Church wherever you go. You are the church. People look to you for understanding. You're a believer. You're called out of darkness into God's wonderful light. We're a royal nation, a holy priesthood, God's own people. At one time we didn't have mercy, now we've got mercy. Remember St. Francis of Assisi? He was one time in San Damiano's in Italy, San Damiano's church, praying before a crucifix, meditating. All of a sudden, as he's meditating, he hears his voice and it says, Francis, go repair my house that's falling into ruin. What do? You hear a voice like that. Go repair my house that's falling into ruin. He looks around at dilapidated San Damiano's church, starts fixing up, quote, God's house, God's church. Then he gets the insight. Jesus wasn't talking about brick and mortar. He was talking about flesh and blood. And he went out and he preached the gospel outside the walls of the church. And people came to salvation. They came to Jesus. See, St. Francis came to the great realization that it's people that are God's house. And that's exactly what Paul the Apostle would write. You are God's building. You are God's house. You are the church. I remember the first sermon I ever gave. I'm 20 years old, and this is way back when. The first teaching I ever gave, it was about the body of Christ. I was so nervous. I remember I had little note cards, you know, just in case I forgot, and I knew the pastor was going to be there. There was 30 people there, and you know, I'm in training to be a teacher now, just trying something to get involved. And, you know, I got to face my fears and come out of my shell and that whole thing. And it was about that story where Saul at the time, Jesus appears to Saul, and remember, Saul was persecuting Christians. He even killed Stephen, the first martyr. And Jesus appears to him, knocks him off his horse, the light, the voice. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Well, wait a minute. Paul was persecuting Christians. Why did Jesus say persecuting me? And that was the theme of my story, my homily, was that Jesus was talking about himself, identifying himself in people that Saul was persecuting. So in other words, we are the body of Christ. That's exactly what Paul wrote in other letters, that we are his hands, his feet. We're not all the same. He's the head, we're the body. So what I want to impress upon you is that maybe you feel insignificant or you don't feel good enough or you feel inadequate or you don't feel like you could make a difference. You have to understand, Jesus lives in you and he needs you to be a part of the assembly, to celebrate, to worship, and to bring your giftedness into the community. Now, some of you are thinking, well, I'm kind of old and I can't get out and I'm at home. Well, have the ministry of intercession. Some of you that are financially able, support the ones who can get out and preach the gospel, because we need everybody together to make a difference in this world of darkness, because we are the light of the world, Jesus said. You are the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? It makes people thirsty. Salt preserves things, and that's what we are as the body of Christ. So I want to impress upon you that you are the body of Christ, and maybe you have been hurt. Well, don't leave. All over the place, Scripture is telling us, meet together, come together, be a part of it. Don't go off on yourself. That's God's will for you. And if there's anybody watching me right now, maybe you've been hurt and you've fallen away and you're not going and you think the church is just not where you're called to be, I want to tell you that you are called. You are chosen out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And I'm going to invite you to consider, no matter what denomination you are, I'm going to invite you to consider coming back. God is calling you, and God will touch your life. I want to tell you that church is inclusive. It's a place, it's a safe place for you. And I go like this because I think of the arms of Jesus saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy burdened, and I'll give you rest. At the front of our retreat center, now remember, our retreat center is a mecca for the 12-step program. Alcoholics, overeaters, Sex Anonymous, Drugs, Narcotics Anonymous, all these different anonymous programs. At the very front of our retreat center, we have a statue of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Underneath the inscription, give me your sinners, give me your blind, give me your sick, give me your saints to be inspired. That to me is what church is. Sinners, the sick, the blind, the wounded, the hurting, the saints, all coming together to a doctor to be healed. You know what a church is? A church ought to be a hospital where sick people come to get the medicine that they need. In fact, that's what Jesus called himself. He called himself a doctor. Remember when the Pharisees were coming against him and he said, it's not healthy people that need a doctor. He said, the sick people do. And he said, I haven't come to call the righteous. I've come to call sinners to repentance. So in other words, Jesus talked about himself as a doctor, and he invited sick people to come to him. So I like to say the church isn't perfect. It's comprised of human beings. I've been hurt. Some of you have been hurt. But you don't give up. You keep coming to Jesus who applies that medicine, kind of like the Good Samaritan. He puts the medicine in the wounds, and he lifts us up, and he brings us to a place that we need to be. That was the great symbol of church at Vatican II, the Good Samaritan. So what I want to say to you is that Everybody is welcome. There's a song. All are welcome in this place. You are welcome. Maybe you feel excommunicated or ostracized. Come back. You're welcome. We are going to welcome you. If you want, if you're Catholic, go to confession. Your sins will be forgiven. Wash clean. Start over again. If you're divorced, you are welcome in this place. If you've had an abortion, you can be forgiven and you are welcome. If you've been hurt in any way, please forgive and come back. All are welcome in this place. You are the body of Christ. You are called to make a difference. You have been blessed, called out of darkness into God's marvelous life and marvelous light. Don't just live, live with passion.
We believe you enjoyed Father Cedric's teaching. It is our heartfelt hope that these programs will intensify your relationship with God and you will sense a new surge of strength in your life. Father Cedric has many resources, audio CDs, DVDs of his television programs, as well as several books to help you in your spiritual journey. Please log on to www.frcedric.org or call 321-474-0997. That's www.frcedric.org. Don't just live, live with passion.